Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. And awaiting the decision from Cardale Jones. It's been dramatic waiting. Meanwhile, another pitch by Kevin Herr to get his guy into the Hall of Fame on this show. Really? I asked you, how would you feel in the break? How would you feel if Terrell Davis got in and your guy didn't?
I told you, I don't know. I'd have to see my reaction at the time. I can't predict it. But I'm not surprised. Listen, it won't surprise me if he doesn't. If Jerome Bettis doesn't get in this time around, it won't surprise me at all. I mean, I'll be frustrated by it, but I've come to the conclusion, as you said last year, the way he gets into the Hall of Fame is probably after through the. Help me out. What's the name of it again?
Veterans Committee.
Thank you.
Yeah, Vic Tinglehoff's going to go in this year. I'm almost sure he will. But look how long it took him. I mean, Mick Tinglehoff finished his career in the 70s. Are you willing to wait that long?
I've waited this long.
All kidding aside, because I kid you a lot about the Bettis thing.
Really? Hold on, let me look shocked about that.
All right, but all kidding aside, do I think he should be in? Yes. Do I think, I will tell you in no uncertain terms, there are two things that really hurt him, one more than the other. What really hurts his candidacy, there are two things. The 3.9 yards a carry, that's not a good number. But that's not what hurts him the most. What hurts him the most is what I consider to be the ridiculous rule of only five players per year. To me, that's absurd. If there are 10 worthy guys in a particular year, vote 10 guys in. If there are three worthy guys in a year, vote three in. I think that's the biggest part that's hurt him more than anything else. If you open this thing up and say, look, hey, whomever's worthy, we vote yay or nay on him, get him in or out, he'd be in by now. Don't you think? I think he'd be in by. I think that's hurts. I think the rule hurts him more than anything else.
Yeah, the limit. I think the limit is the problem.
That's the biggest problem he has. Now, the 3.9 yards a carry is a problem. Whether you choose to recognize it or not, that is not a good number. You're like, well, look at all the carries. Like, look, but you got to get production. All right? And that's too many. When somebody has 3.9 yards a carry, that's a lot of plays where nothing happened. Because he had some big plays in his career. And that's how he gets in the number of yards that he got to and so forth. But, this is what I liken the 3.9 yards to. How often have you heard me say, it never lights me up when I see somebody had 21 points on 21 shots?
Yeah, and I've said that a lot.
And I've said that a lot of times. That's what this is. He's got a lot of yards on a lot of attempts. Now, there's something to be said for durability. But It's like putting a 260 hitter into the Baseball Hall of Fame that hit 500 home runs. And that's, to me, the numbers issue is the biggest issue he has. No question. The numbers issue is the biggest issue. I don't like the fact that, and it's the toughest Hall of Fame to get into. And they'll tell you that, I mean, as to how they vote. And it's very tough. I mean, for example, I was talking with Ira Miller. Ira Miller has a vote. You know, he's in the room. He's allowed to be there, the whole thing. And a year ago, he came into our booth. I think it was at Illinois. And he said, hey, you know, he wanted to talk to Jack. And he said, hey, Jack, you played the same era as Ray Guy. He said, if you're sitting in the room, would you vote for him for the Hall of Fame? And Jack looks at me and says, absolutely, in a heartbeat. He said, he changed games. And Jack went on. And Peter King's also in the room. And Ira says, look, Ira said to me, he says, how forceful was he growing up? I said, he was. He said, because I grew up with him. And he says, look, Gerald Wilson had better numbers in his career. Well, Gerald Wilson was a really good punter for the Kansas City Chiefs. Really good. Great 1-2 punch with Jan Stenerud. Stenerud, of course, is in the Hall of Fame. And I think in some parts, Stenerud was such a good kicker that in some ways it overshadowed Gerald Wilson just a bit as a punter. And Gerald Wilson's numbers were great, but Ray Guy was a dominant figure in games when he kicked. A dominant figure. And eventually last year he got in. And see, that's what he has to do is he has to fight through the voices, Kevin, to get himself into this position. Personality-wise, everybody likes him. Performance-wise, very, very good. Had some great years, had some good years.
That's the night before the Super Bowl they announced that?
Yeah.
31st?
I mean, he's a lot like the 270 hitter that hit 500 home runs. What do you do with that guy? You hate that analogy.
Yeah, I'm not really fond of it. But.
Well, but again, but what's the problem? What's the issue?
I think you're right. I think you're 100% correct. I think the 5 limit is the biggest problem that guys like Jerome Bettis have. Now, is the reason there's 5 is because they want this to be a more exclusive Hall of Fame? I mean, what's the thought process behind that? Why 5? What makes that number the magic number?
5, and then you add, what, 1 or 2 veterans?
Right. I'm not counting the veterans.
That's, for example, how Ed Sable got it, you know.
But that's my question, is why, I mean, are they trying to make this a more elite Hall of Fame? Do they feel that, like the Baseball Hall of Fame, it's too easy to get into? I don't know if I'd say that, but you know.
But the Baseball Hall of Fame's been putting fewer guys in. This year was a huge deal. They put in 4. You know, last time they put in 4, one of them was Joe DiMaggio. It was in the 50s. The last time they voted in 4. So the Pro Football Hall of Fame puts more in a given year. It's just, but they do it in such a way where you make it feel like it's more exclusive. Baseball is pretty hard at 75%, with a lot of people voting. Well, that's not easy. But the 5, but see, in the Baseball Hall of Fame, you can vote up to 10 guys. The 5 limit, he'd already be in with no 5 limit. Because he's made the top 10 now how many years in a row?
Let's see, I know of 2.
Oh, come
off
on,
the
this
top,
is your guy.
2 off the top of my head, but I know there's more than. I think it's been 3.
This is your guy. This is your guy. Come on.
I don't worry about how many times he's been in the top 10. I worry about how many times he's in the top 5.
Well, I can give you that answer. I don't need, you know, that answer is zero. There are other guys that I think have been more slighted. For example, I'd have Kenny Stabler in the Hall of Fame. I really don't care how he finished at Houston or anything. I don't care about that. When he was with the Raiders, and there was 2 minutes to go, did you think the Raiders were going to win? I mean, really? The immaculate reception game. People forget who made the big play to actually put the Steelers behind. Oh, Kenny Stabler. Beat the Patriots at the end in the playoff game. Beat the Dolphins to stop their winning streak at the end of the playoff game. Kenny Stabler had a marvelous career. Now, I know at the end it wasn't great with Houston, whatever. I could care less. What he did with the Raiders, more than enough. Okay, Jerry Kramer. Oh, there are too many Packers in. I don't care. I don't care if they put the whole team in. If you are one of the best, you're the best. I don't care if you got buddies that are already in there. It's irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant.
Let's see.
Jerry Kramer, he was a heck of a player.
All right, let's.
He's the only player in the 50th anniversary team not in, you know.
I did not know that. All right, let's look at some of the potential members here, and this is a Hall of Fame vote done by NFL.com. So I want to see how you match up with the country.
Yep.
According to NFL.com. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Modern era nominees. Morton Anderson. Yes or no? He's the all-time leading scorer in NFL history.
Well, I think eventually he should be in.
3% right now. And I think it's mainly because he's a kicker.
Right.
Tim Brown. 17 seasons, 5th on the all-time career receiving yards list.
You know what? I would not vote Tim Brown. Wow. Myself, because I think that I thought Tim Brown was a good receiver, and I never felt like he dominated the game.
I'm surprised by that. 5th on the all-time career receiving yards list, though.
That doesn't. That means 15, nothing. That means nothing to me.
All right.
I mean, I watch the game and I look at the game, okay. And I don't go, oh my god. How are we going to stop Tim Brown?
You don't
ever go into a game and think that.
I'm just asking you for a justification. That's fair. Don Coryell.
Not this time through.
Wow. I think you have to get him in there somewhere along the line.
Well, you know what? He did a great job at St. Louis and changed St. Louis around. He changed around San Diego.
Would you say he's the innovator of the passing game we have today?
Sid Gilman next.
Okay. All right.
History does not begin in 1980.
It does for me. Terrell Davis. By the way, 2% for Don Coryell so far.
Absolutely. I mean, the best running back in the ballot.
Fourth running back to rush for 2,000 yards. Okay.
Fine. I just to get your goat. He only played 7 years. That's a big issue for me.
Fourth runner in NFL history to rush for 2,000 yards in a season.
Yeah.
And led the NFL with 21 rushing touchdowns. But that was a season.
Right. But again, 7 years only for the body of work. So that's concerning to me.
He's a 6%. Tony Dungy.
Won one Super Bowl. Did a good job at Tampa Bay.
Can't count his work on the Dan Patrick Show or on NBC, by the way, as part of that.
I would say no.
Yeah, I would say no as well. 5%, by the way, vote there. Kevin Green, the linebacker.
Nope.
I loved Kevin Green when he was a Steeler. I would also say no. 4% is his vote right now. Charles Haley.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Emphatic big check mark.
Yes, he's at 6% right now, one of the higher votes. Marvin Harrison.
I think he'll get in because I thought he was a dominant player that you had to stop and could not stop. Yeah, I know he had Peyton Manning, but you know what? Manning's going to have somebody to throw the ball to.
I would tend to agree with you. I think it's still too early yet compared to some other guys that I think deserve to be there over him that have waited longer. So, again, that's where the five-member rule causes a problem.
Jerome.
And he would be one of them, of course. Jimmy, he's Jerome. At 5%, by the way. Jimmy Johnson.
1-3 three Super Bowls, but I'd wait a little bit on that.
Did he have three or was it two?
I guess he won two. I guess Barry won the other one.
Yeah, he's at 5%. John Lynch.
Yes.
He's at
4%. John Lynch was not only a good safety, I thought he was a great safety.
Orlando Pace.
No question. Automatic. That's one of the easiest ones on the ballot.
I think from a fan standpoint, it's tough for fans to vote for offensive linemen because I just don't know if, as fans, and I say this myself included, if we watch enough of the offensive line to decide whether a guy's good enough to be in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's why he's at 4% right now. Junior Seau.
Yes.
He's the leader. He's the second leading vote getter nationwide right now by a fan vote on NFL.com at 10%. Will Shields.
Will Shields, same thing. I mean, I think he's one of the best offensive linemen ever. And I wish his kid would not score 31 against Penn State.
And again, he's at 2% because I just don't think fans as a whole will pick offensive linemen. I think skill positions are what they end up looking at more often.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner.
Absolutely.
No, there's no question.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Yeah, he's leading at 12%. So right now it's Kurt Warner, Junior Seau in double figures. Charles Haley's at 6%. He's the next highest, along with Terrell Davis, Tim Brown, and Jerome Bettis.
Your guy Bettis has what?
6%.
Ooh, kind of low, don't you think?
No, I actually don't, because he's right in line with Davis, right in line with Haley. So there's 2, 3, 4, 5. There you go. There's all five of them right there. Warner, Seau, and then you drop down to 6% of the national vote with Haley and Davis, and then rounding out would be Jerome Bettis with 6%, and there you have your five from the modern era. Thank you, and welcome to the Hall of Fame, Jerome, and I'll see you this summer.
And now here's the unfortunate part. Orlando Pace is going to get in. You got a big problem now, because Orlando Pace is going to get in, you know.
If somebody wants to sell me a hotel room this summer, I'm making the offer, put my guy in the Hall of Fame, and I will be at your hotel.
I think Marvin Harrison's going to get in, and I think Orlando Pace is going to get in. I think Haley's going to get in. I think Junior's going to get in, and Kurt Warner's going to get in.
I've made my pitch.
And I'm not saying that to be cruel here.
I know.
I'm just telling you. Those would be the five guys I'd pick. And then I probably would, if I could get out to 8, I would get Jerome in there. Along with Will Shields and along with Tim Brown. But I think Orlando Pace is going to make it. I think Seau's going to make it. I think Pace is going to make it. I think Kurt Warner is going to make it. I tell you, John Lynch was great.
Well, but I think this proves your point that you were just talking about a few minutes ago with the four or with the limit of five. This is where it makes it really, really difficult for some guys.
I mean,
to get in.
Tim Brown's going to get a lot of run on this thing. Tim Brown's going to get a lot of run in that room. I was never a big Tim Brown fan. I never felt like Tim Brown dominated the game. I mean, I never felt like Let's take Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison, for example, racked up great years, and some people say, yeah, he's a product of Peyton Manning. Yet when you went into the game, you were trying to stop Marvin Harrison, and he still ended up making catches. Part of that's Manning, part of that's Marvin Harrison. Tim Brown, you never get in there. I never thought when I watched the game, oh boy, if I could stop Tim Brown, I'd be good. Wow, that's a huge deal to stop him. I was like, yeah, okay, fine.
You just don't like him because he's a Fighting Irish from Notre Dame.
No, I'm kidding. I'll give you an example. Yeah, he reminds me more of Santana Moss. A really good player, but you don't sit there when the game's over going, oh man, I just felt like I just witnessed greatness. Santana Moss isn't going to be in the Hall of Fame either. But I'll give Brown credit. 17 years is pretty impressive. But did you feel like in the 17 years he was the dominant figure of his era? Did you even know he played 17 years?
I didn't know he played 17 years. That's what I was just thinking when you said that. I'm like, 17 years?
I'm saying, okay.
Until I read it, actually, I didn't know.
If you didn't know he was the Heisman Trophy winner at Notre Dame, all right, how much would you really know about how great his NFL career was?
No, I would beg to differ with you a little bit there because I actually am well aware of him because of being an AFC guy.
Whatever, but I mean, when the Steelers played the Raiders, they said, "Oh boy, we got to stop Tim Brown. We can stop Tim Brown."
Yeah, every time they punted the ball, that was my first thought. Every time they punted the ball,
Well, maybe your guy should have returned punts then.
I've got nothing there.
I remember Bettis scored. When Penn State in 92 played at Notre Dame, snowstorm. In fact, in the movie Rudy,
yes,
that last game where Rudy gets into the game,
yep,
that snowstorm and everything like that, that's the Penn State game. I remember, in fact, when we were there that day, they told us they were filming parts of the movie that day there. So we actually knew that they were. And so, in fact, you see the Penn State Blue Band is actually in the movie, on the field. They're the band in the background. And in that game, it was a great game. Back and forth it went. And then Bettis caught the game winner, which was remarkable because Bettis was not a good receiver out of the backfield. And then Reggie Brooks caught the two-point conversion from Rick Meyer. Memories.
And then Rudy was offside.
Forever will be.
He was.
So is Sean Astin.
It's time to celebrate. Sunbury Motors Ford is celebrating their 100th anniversary. To kick off this milestone, SMC is slashing the prices of new Fords up to 10 grand. Pick over 58 new Ford Focuses as low as $15,950. Choose from 46 Ford Fusions priced for only $18,920. SMC has sold more F-150s in the last 10 years than any other Ford dealer in the entire Philadelphia region. Browse from over 75 trucks with discounts never seen before. Super Cab 4x4 F-150s are priced under 30 grand during this centennial celebration. Sunbury Motors is reducing all 67 new Ford Escapes, and they start at just $19,990. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Odo Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask about our Odo Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Merce family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
He's staying.
Breaking news.
Cardale Jones is staying.
So when they look into where they're going to draft in the NFL draft, where their projection is, they get first round, second round, or other,
First round, I think they had first, second, third, and other.
So obviously he ended up with other.
He was projected third. He was projected as a third round pick. Interesting decision by him. He has a daughter. I also think this is a domino decision as to what this means for Braxton Miller. So it's a little more to it than this, because, I mean, now you got all three of them are there.
I find it, though, hard to believe that somebody convinced him that he would be something higher than a third-round pick. Because, let's face it.
Maybe he wants his degree. I don't know.
All right, that may be.
And of course, we all know about the tweet about going to school versus whatever. I got it.
Well, but let's be frank. This was a guy who was bumped from the number two position to the number three position on the depth chart when the season started, and we wouldn't even have seen him on the football field if it weren't for the two unfortunate injuries at Ohio State. So to think that, I'm tell you what, I thought a third round pick, I thought, is pretty good considering the situation he was in August.
Right. I mean, his physical tools, no question. He got in for one play against Penn State, and when he came in, I remember exactly what I said when he came in. I said, Cardale Jones is now the quarterback, because I saw it right away that he was in and Barrett was out. I said, Jack, I expect him to run a quarterback draw, which he did. That was the play he ran. But what struck me is how well he threw the football. He doesn't make all the throws. He's not the kind of guy you see throws a great fade. He doesn't, get one over the linebacker that you sit back and go, whoa. But you want to sit back and fling that thing down the field? He's got a heck of an arm. Very, very strong. Now, does he need more polish as to what he does? Yeah, of course he does. But you know what? We don't know the kid. You only know what you're allowed to know about somebody. And, obviously what he put out on Twitter was, a couple of years ago about having to go to school versus playing. I mean, he finally got up in front of the media, and everyone tells you that, look, he was articulate. He handled himself very, very well. And obviously in the games, he played with great poise. He played smart. He played like somebody who had not been riding the pine for 3 years. He played very, very well. There's no question about it. I mean, if I'm advising him in a pure football mode, in a pure just, nothing else on the table except, NFL, football, and so forth, I would have told him to go. And the reason I would have told him to go was, look, you have a crowded situation in Ohio State. There are no guarantees as to whether you're going to be playing next year or not. Maybe you will. Maybe you progress so much that you just take it and own it and it's yours. Or there's also the possibility that JT Barrett takes it, owns it, and it's his. Or that Braxton Miller comes back and reclaims it. So he has no guarantees staying. The one thing he can guarantee is he's going into his fourth year in school. And maybe he is on track to graduate. And that's something we don't know. But I would have told him to go because of, I think that for him, the iron could not be hotter for him. And I don't know if he's going to get better as an NFL prospect by staying. And I don't know, nothing's guaranteed to him as, hey, look, I'll come. Like, say, for example, Mariota wanted to come back to Oregon. Well, or if he wanted to stay at Oregon, he's going to be the starting quarterback at Oregon next year. Now, he's opted for the NFL draft. And now, you have this kid here. He has no guarantee of being the starter next year. That's the issue I would have, and I would have advised him. Miller's hurt. No guarantees on Miller coming back. They all thought when the spring was over that he was healed and he could play this year, and it turned out he wasn't. Barrett did break his leg, speed's a big part of his game. Jones is actually the only quarterback they have right now that is not hurt, so that does help him in terms of the ability where you're looking for any advantage you can get. So he's made a decision. And again, maybe in the end he feels his degree is very important, because being a third-round pick in the NFL would have given him $1 million. And that's where he was projected. He was projected in the third round. You get first, second, third round, other. Okay. So there's another potential Steeler pick by the boards.
I wasn't looking for that pick.
Come on, that was your guy.
Nope.
God, you were in the break going on and on and on.
What I was going on and on about is the fact that I didn't think that he would even consider the draft, considering or get a whole lot of looks, because he only played really three games. Did he play well in those three games? Sure.
Yeah, but you have to remember, this is a lot of this is not about. There's a portion of your evaluation that is individual workout stuff, where they come in, they take a long look at you, you know, look at the strength of your arm, look at your size, look at your quickness. They throw some cones out there. They throw you out in a 40. They, you know, I mean, this guy probably would have combined pretty well. Hey, give him credit. He's going to come back. Yeah. He has a daughter that's 2 months old. He's not assured of a starting spot for next year. He decided to come back. There were two primary excuses right there. And the third one, the iron's hot for him right now. Now, all three of those things add up to him going. He decided to stay. Give him credit. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So you bowled a 297, huh?
I did. We were talking about in the break that Jerome Bettis, if he does get into the Hall of Fame, will be in two Hall of Fames. He'll be in the Bowling Hall of Fame in St. Louis for the perfect game he threw, the 300, and he'll be in the National Football League Hall of Fame in Canton.
So what happened on the last ball?
Do you really want to know?
No, I only asked it because I'm bored in life.
I didn't lift the ball. I flattened it out, and it didn't finish. You asked.
You cried, didn't you?
No, but I do remember yelling, "Move, move, move!" Didn't move.
When did you take up bowling?
Eight. When I was eight.
Still bowl a lot?
Not as much as I used to. Once in a while, not nearly as much as I used to.
What was your best average?
210.
Really?
Yeah, 210 for a full season.
Any other nights where you were on like that, like first five, six frames?
That same night, I actually shot... that was the last game, actually, the 297. I shot 768 series that particular night.
Wow.
So I had my high game and career high and career high series. Fortunately,
was there a witness?
Yes, I knew you were just. I was just about ready to say that. Fortunately, it was in league play, and they were still giving away the black onyx rings for 297. It was the last year they were doing that.
Wow, that's great.
I've had 11 in a row twice. That was one, and the other time I had 11 in a row, I had a spare in the first and punched out the next 11.
And that would have added up to what?
290.
290. Wow. I have 18 emails here from witnesses that night.
That was a long time ago.
each one of them saying they were relieved they did not have to carry you out. All right, so we will.
I did almost collapse on the lane. I do remember that, but that was only from frustration that the ball didn't move.
And what bowling alley was this?
It was a bowling alley in Bloomsburg.
What's the name of it?
The Peanut Bowl.
Oh. Don't they wax the groove in there?
They don't wax anything.
Oh, no. Not where you bowl.
Yeah, the shot was, and the term is blocked. And no, it was not blocked that night. I did have an area that I was throwing to, but.
You missed it, didn't you?
No, I hit my mark. I was right on the mark. I just was flattening it right on out. And it just sat there and spun. Didn't turn. It's what they call didn't turn over.
Ooh, that's tough. You're that close to something that special, that's tough.
20 right, years we'll I've been getting over it. Thanks for reminding me.
No, I just thought we'd get over it because, I mean, I've got your therapist says there's a series of things we need to talk about. That was one of them.
20 years. And thanks for bringing back the pain.
She told me that you need to work through painful moments in your life. And I said, well, we're only on 5 days a week. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus.
I feel like we've worked through a lot of your issues today. Felt that this was an important breakthrough day, in which we talked about your near miss on the bowling lanes, and also about the repeated failed candidacies of your favorite player. I felt this was a breakthrough day.
I'm glad you feel vindicated for the day now. You've done something today.
Vindicated? No. I mean, I'm just here to help. Uh-huh.
You know what we didn't talk about today? We didn't talk about the 2014 Ford Flex yet.
We should talk about that because you volunteered to drive Jerome Bettis to the Hall of Fame so he can watch the other speeches in it.
And there, no. I'm driving him there so he can get to the speeches, and he will have plenty of room. The big guy will have plenty of room in the second row or the third row, and he'll be able to store all his beverages in the cooler that is available in the 2014 Ford Flex that goes in between the middle seats. We have the rear view camera, so you know he'll be good and safe when I back up because I'll be able to see everything behind me. Plus, with the availability of the lane sensing technology as well as adaptive cruise in the Limited, I won't have to worry about anything in the way of a crash because I'll know there's vehicles to my left, to my right, in front of me, and when I'm backing up. So Jerome will be good and safe, and he'll be very comfortable in the 2014 Ford Flex Limited from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. Check it out at Kevin Herr on Twitter and on my Facebook page as well.
I'll go too.
There's plenty of room. And you know what? We could even tailgate because those back seats, the third row, flip backwards so you can tailgate in it. The wheels on the Flex go round and round.
You know why I'd go?
Why would you go?
Give them somebody to talk to.
That's all right. It's got a really good sound system with HD radio. You don't even need anybody to talk to.
So, Jerome, that came back with Indianapolis.
Are you saying that I would end up doing like a Saturday Night Live thing with Chris Farley? Hey, Jerome, you remember that game against Detroit that you played? It was, that was really cool. Do you remember that Super Bowl you won? That was awesome.
Where Willie Parker played so great.
Remember that Super Bowl you won? Who cares?
Where Willie Parker
Who
played
cares?
Great?
Who cares? Remember when you were so excited to go back home to Detroit and you won the Super Bowl?
When Willie Parker played great and the officials stunk.
Oh, don't even go there. I have a friend who's a Seahawks fan and still whining about it.
That is from a neutral observer, the single worst officiated Super Bowl I ever saw.
Ironically, I don't care.
Oh, I know you don't care. Fairness has never really been part of your...
Speaking of Super Bowls, have you seen the AT&T commercial they were running during the College Bowl, tournament, the national championship semifinal and final?
Actually, the one I like lately is the one from Domino's Pizza.
Well, they have three Heisman Trophy winners there talking about the Heisman Trophy.
Oh yeah,
that they won.
With the Montana rings.
And then they turn to Montana, and you hear the click of all of his Super Bowl rings as he puts his hand to his chin and goes, "That's quite an accomplishment."
Yeah, I think they threw one conference championship ring in there too.
I just thought it was cool.
That's the one Domino. They have the app for Dom.
Yes.
He said, "Dom, help me with jiu-jitsu.
Help me with jiu-jitsu."
The guy surrounded at a pool hall.
Admit
like,
it.
I only know pizza.
Admit it. You miss Culpepper.
No, I don't. I'm telling you, the one thing about the college football playoff, Larry needed to go.
Oh, Larry Culpepper's great.
Needed to go. The best single line of all of those, of all the Dr. Pepper commercials with him in it, was the security guard saying, "I can still see you, Larry."
Right. That was a good one. I like that. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's the only line.
And by the way,
in 5 months,
I used to like the Fallout Boys. Thank you, ESPN, for using it every single commercial break. I can't stand that song anymore. I really liked that song for a long time. Now, can't stand it.
Well, you know, I know how the rest of us feel about the wheels of the bus go round and round.
I mean, really, they didn't have any other bump music they could use. I mean, how much did they pay for use of Centuries?